Hello and welcome to On in Omaha with D1 Baseball. I am your host, Michael Patrick Rooney. I am joined by the A-team, my man Kendall Rogers, my other man Aaron Fitt. We are thrilled to be in the promised land for college baseball, coming to you live right here in the great city of Omaha, and we are getting ready to kick this thing off. This show is going to, we're going to preview the College World Series. And today's program is brought to you by our good friends at Win Reality. Win Reality is a virtual reality program that 6 of the 8 teams in Omaha have used to get here. Think about this. You can scout opposing pitchers. 60 of the pitchers that could throw in this College World Series are part of the program for Win Reality as these hitters prepare to face those, really the best arms we have in college baseball. Win Reality's got a great tagline. When your moment comes, you'll be ready. I love that. So again, we really appreciate the folks at Win Reality for sponsoring this. So, boys, we're gonna go through the teams. Yes, we are back. We are, as Frank Costanza would say, we are back, baby. We're gonna go through the teams. We're also gonna do some fun questions that I have not shared with you guys at the end. So what we're gonna do is, I'm gonna ask each of you, you're gonna both comment on each team. Here's what I love. I love an area of strength, something you really like about each club. I'd like also a concern, something that concerns you. And then we'll also talk about a player that really stands out for you guys in those three areas. So sure. We'll go alphabetically, both sides of the bracket. Work for you?
Absolutely. Really.
All right, arms are loose. We've done our tubing. Yeah. All right, excellent. All right, so Kale, let's start with you. Let's do Arizona.
I think the biggest thing for me when I look at Arizona is the fact that, you know, they're very offensive. They hit a lot of home runs, but they're also one of those teams that can hit a lot of doubles too. So I think when you look at Arizona overall, you know, you talk about a player that stands out, Dante Williams for me. You know, he's a guy that in our Super Regional preview we really blew up a lot. And he was outstanding last weekend at Ole Miss Super Regional. I thought he was terrific. And so when you look at that lineup with him, Jacob Berry, Ryan Holgate and company, and you look at the job their pitching's done for the most part in the postseason, they've gotten it done. They've had a couple of stinkers, but they've gotten it done for the most part. So I think Arizona, for me, they match up really well at TD Ameritrade Park, and so I'm really interested to see that lineup against Kumar Rocker. If they can just get past Kumar in that first game, they could be smooth sailing a little bit.
I've got a terrible comp on Dante Williams. The comp is, it's like I grew up in Omaha and Warren Buffett was my neighbor, but I didn't buy any of his stock until it was too late. Dante Williams, you guys know I'm an Arizona guy. Dante Williams is right in my backyard, and I have been really slow to the party, and I regret that immensely because he is a stud.
You know, some coaches have kind of compared him to Jackie Bradley Jr. I know Aaron's kind of pointed out that he's a little different, but it's an interesting comp.
Yeah, I like it.
Physically, athletically, there's a lot of similarities there. It's just, you know, what set Jackie apart was just the elite 80 defense, which you just don't see very often. Dante can go get it too, though, now.
Yes. I mean,
and that's important in this ballpark. You got to have range in the outfield. They do. They're I think, perfectly suited for TD Ameritrade Park. You know, and if you recall in 2012, I mean, they came here and they just wore out those gaps and they won it all. They just kind of bludgeoned everybody. And then the same thing in 2016, I mean, they reached the finals. No program has a better winning percentage in TD Ameritrade Park in the World Series than Arizona.
How about that?
And I think that's because they play at High Corbett where, you know, it's really tailored to their style of play. It translates very well to this.
Let's not forget when the last time Arizona won the national championship, they used 3 pitchers to get to the College World Series. I think Matt Tripp's still recovering from that Omaha trip.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so I will tell you guys this about Arizona, too. When they get to a vulnerable part of a bullpen, they just assault that bullpen. So very interested to see. You know, I'd say a concern is the defense. I've picked at that all year. But, again, they are the Pac-12 champions, and very easy to forget that.
I'll say the key, too, when you look at their matchup against Kumar, I think the key, too, there, when you look at Arizona and their ability to get through that bracket, is, you know, if you look back at his start against Arkansas ran his pitch count up to, like, 90 pitches within 3 or 4 innings. I think that's going to be the name of the game for Arizona, too. If they can get him out of the game, the game really changes a little bit for both those teams.
And, of course, they did that so well against Doug Nikhazy in the Super Regional, even though that was the game they didn't win. I mean, they were, you know, driving up his pitch count to around 60 through the first 2 innings and only allowed 1 hit, you know, but they're just fouling off pitch after pitch, really frustrating Nikhazy. If they can do that against Rocker, it just changes the whole complexion potentially of that bracket.
Yeah, and I will tell you guys that Arizona may have the best t-shirt here in Omaha that speaks to their offense. Their t-shirt says, it's a ball or it's a line drive. I absolutely love it. If you throw it in the strike zone, plan on it being a rocket somewhere in the gap.
Sounds like Arizona.
Yeah, that's right. All right, boys, let's go to NC State. Fitzy, I'll start with you. Tell us about the Wolfpack.
Yeah, this is a really good club, Runes. I mean, they're just very balanced. I think it's an elite position player group. We've talked a lot about Arkansas and how good their position player group is, but NC State went there really matched those guys, I thought, when it came to talent and versatility. It's an elite offense that grinds you down all the way through the order. They've got really good left-handed hitting in the top half there, led by Austin Murr and Johnny Barrels,
Johnny Butler.
All he does is find barrels. Elliot Avin likes to compare him to Johnny Damon, kind of that style of play. And Tyler McDonough, the switch hitter, who's just a dynamo there. And those guys are really good. They make that team go, but there's no easy outs. In that respect, they're like Arizona. They're going to grind you down all the way through the order. And they're an elite defense, which is something that maybe sets them above Arizona. This is a team that is second in the nation in fielding percentage. Not only do they take care of the ball, but they've got a really good range, Kendall. Jose Torres is a special talent. You don't see guys who move like him playing shortstop in college baseball. Usually those guys are in the big leagues. But he really is a difference maker. Tresh behind the plate, outstanding catch and throw guy. They're good at every position on the diamond defensively.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is people talk so much about their defense and their offense, but, they can really pitch. Matt Wilson threw really well against Arkansas. You look at the back end of the bullpen, Chris Villeman. Evan Justice was up to 97 from the left side with a little bit of funk against Arkansas. So as offensive as they are, they can really kind of mix and match pitching-wise, too. They may not have the depth of like a Mississippi State or somebody like that in the field, but they certainly have two or three really good arms at the front end.
Yeah, and I think when you start, just pretend you're coaching against NC State, and their offense is a real headache. It's deep, it's athletic, it's speed, it's power. You mentioned it, Fitzy. Their athleticism translates to both sides of the baseball, offensively and defensively. But I think about if I'm trying to prepare my, just my team for NC State, you better get a lead. You better have a lead in the fifth or sixth inning, because if you're going to face Justice and Villeman for 12 outs, that's high-octane left-handers, and Justice specifically, like the arm slot, if just the ball is jumping out of his jersey.
I actually feel like Arkansas was maybe a little surprised at like how good their arms were. They kind of seemed a little shell-shocked. So.
Yeah, Justice is such a difference maker, and I think when you look at NC State's turnaround this season, it really starts with the pitching, because they've hit all year long, even in the first half of the year when they were struggling offensively. Struggling on the mound, they could really hit. But once those roles kind of settled into place, on the mound, I think Justice becoming a superstar was such a big part of that. He's always had the ability, the talent has never been in question, but now he's got so much confidence, so much pitchability. He's just a huge difference maker at the back. Listen, it's five guys deep on the mound, really. That's been their formula.
Their T-shirt.
Reed Johnson, that's right. Reed Johnson, Sam Highfill, Matt Willitson, and then Villeman and Justice in the bullpen. But in Omaha, as long as you can stay in that winner's bracket, that's all you need.
Yep.
Five guys, man, that can take you all the way.
Yeah, and I'll get really out over my skis right now with a comp. To me, what NC State did upsetting Arkansas in Fayetteville, it just reeks of Fresno State in 2008 when Fresno State got run off the field in game one of that Tempe Super Regional by an epic Arizona State team, and then came back and won that Super Regional and never looked back. And so I get it. NC State's a 2 seed. Fresno State was a 4 seed. That's a difference. But it felt like Fresno State upsetting Arizona State in 2008, NC State upsetting Arkansas this year. Just they felt like epic long shots that came in, and who knows, maybe NC State never looks back.
Well, how about Michigan in 2019 taking down UCLA? Was the number one national seed that year, if I remember correctly.
They
went in there and rode that momentum all the way to the finals.
Yep, amen. All right, let's keep moving. So the Stanford Cardinal, there's a person associated with D1 baseball that may have a vested interest in the Cardinal.
Yeah, where's Kyle? I feel like Kyle's just coming in here.
The godfather, of Stanford baseball, Kyle Peterson. Kendall, kick us off on Stanford.
I wasn't real sure what to expect from those guys, but I think they kind of set the tone there in that first inning against Texas Tech with a homer from Tim Tawa, and they never really kind of looked back. You look at Brock Jones, Drew Bowser, they had big weekends in Lubbock, and then Brendan Beck, not only is he wanting to wear black in Lubbock, but, he goes out there with that slider, that fastball, he was commanding the zone really well, so obviously Beck has to give them a really good start. They don't have the weaker rotation that some of these other teams have. So he's going to have to win that first game for them to have a chance to get out of that bracket. But offensively, they do hit the long ball, but they can live in the gap as well, a lot like Arizona. Not quite Arizona-esque, but they've got a really potent offensive lineup top to bottom. What's really interesting about Stanford is they're not going anywhere. Like, there's a lot of young guys throughout that lineup.
Yep.
So they're young. They're going to be loose. They have nothing to lose. People didn't expect them to be here, so they're dangerous.
Yep. Fitzy?
Yeah, it feels like that house money team, that also has experience from the postseason that they really benefited from. Going to Starkville, I think, couple of years ago in the Super Regional and just getting run out of the building. That helped them this time around.
Sure.
Going to Lubbock, which is a difficult place to go play as a visitor. Texas Tech had never lost a Super Regional there. They were 4-0. But Stanford just went in there and just took it to them. I mean, that was just such a loud statement to go in there and run Texas Tech off the field in their own ballpark. I was so impressed with the offense, you know, and obviously running back and Alex Williams were fantastic. Those two guys, they give them a chance. Again, if they can stay in that winner's bracket, Beck has so much pitchability, so much competitiveness. We've talked about this before, but the way he pitches downhill and drives that fastball down into the bottom of the zone, really spots it to both sides. He can spin the breaking ball, he can spin the slider, and then Williams with that changeup, such a difference maker, you know. I think they can contain good offensive teams with those guys, and we know they're capable of scoring runs in a hurry, Kendall.
Yeah.
Well, they got that Kyle Peterson swagger.
They do. Yeah, they got the KP goggles on swagger for sure. So, and I will tell you guys this about Stanford. Obviously, I had the Lubbock Super Regional, and you know, you mentioned Brendan Beck. I mean, you know, for fans that are curious when you hear West Coast pitching or the West Coast style, that's what Brendan Beck is. You know, just the fastball command is elite. Breaking balls anytime he wants them. He can really cross count hitters and pitch backwards. Yeah. And I will tell you, Brock Jones is a position player to really make sure you get your eyes on. This kid is a full scholarship football player at Stanford as a D-back. He's 6'1", 215 pounds, ripped up, super twitchy, super fast, hit 3 home runs in that second game of the Super Regional. He's a stud.
You know, and Drew Bowser's exciting
yes.
as a true freshman who's just really starting to come into his own. If you look at the season numbers, his numbers aren't going to leap off the page at you. But, Bruins, I don't know about you. I thought he was impressive in that Super Regional, just doing things, helping them in a bunch of different ways. A guy that hasn't maybe fielded all that cleanly all year, but he made some nice plays at the hot corner, I thought.
Yeah, no question. Bowser's 6'4", 220, and you don't get kids like that to college very often. He gets a Ryan Braun comp. He's a future star.
He's one of those guys, when he gets off the bus, you're like, wow, like I like what I see. You know, and the other thing with Brock Jones too, the thing I like about him is for such a young player, like when he's in the box, like if you try to go outside with a pitch, like he can go the other way. If you try to go in on him with a fastball, like he's going to rip it down the line. He kind of showed that in Lubbock. So just a really advanced hitter for such a young player.
Yeah, he's good. Now, you know, so obviously the biggest concern for Stanford, as we've intimated, is it is really thin on the mound. And I'd also say it's a very young team. They started 6 freshmen, first or second year freshmen in the Super Regional. But pitching depth, you know, Stanford, winner's bracket, mandatory. Loser's bracket, it's going to be a big problem.
It's going to be trouble.
Yeah, for sure. All right, gentlemen, so gosh, we're 3/4 of the way down the first bracket. All right, let's go the defending national champions, the Vanderbilt Commodores. Kendall, you kick us off on Vandy. What do you got on the doors?
They have this guy named Kumar Rocker, who I've heard is really good. You know, I mean, obviously, we can talk so much about Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, but I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to talk about the offense. And I think the biggest key for any opposing team against Vanderbilt is you just cannot let Enrique Bradfield get that offense going.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that if he can find a way to get on base, he can steal second, he can steal third, and all of a sudden you think you've had a great inning and they've scored a run. So if he gets rolling, that offense is pretty hard to stop. When you look at Dom Keegan and Carter Young and guys like that, they can really kind of get going. So I think keeping him off the base pass is the key, and he's such an electric player. You know, nationally we talk so much about Kumar and Jack, but to me, he's the most exciting, maybe the most exciting player in this College World Series.
Yep, love it.
And he's such a distraction, too,
yeah.
if he gets on base. You know, I mean, you have to throw over constantly because you know he wants to run. And that's just a game changer. I mean, it allows those guys in the middle to get better pitches to hit. And, you know, you're playing against a distracted pitcher. That's half the battle right there. So, yeah, you're right, Kendall. That's a huge key for Vanderbilt is to have him get on base, which he always does. I mean, he's an on-base machine. But, you know, we've talked a lot about how maybe this offense was overshadowed over the course of the year because of those two guys. It is a really good offensive team. They are a good defensive team. I love C.J. Rodriguez behind the plate. But I'll tell you, when it came down to it in the Super Regional, guys, against East Carolina, it was Rocker and it was Leiter.
Yep.
I mean, they carried them against a very potent East Carolina offense. They shut those guys down. They rose to the occasion, as they have you know, throughout their careers. These are elite talents that have also performed up to their talent, which you don't always see. And it's just special to watch those guys. I think we need to appreciate how lucky we are to be able to watch these guys, you know, together on the same pitching staff. It's very rare.
You know, it's almost like once the big lights come on the big stage, like that's what Kumar's here for, right? Like he pitches so well on the big stage. And what's crazy about the East Carolina series, and we were talking about this last night over dinner, but like I feel like East Carolina played amazing baseball.
Yeah, they did.
With nothing to show for it. So that's how good Vanderbilt can be.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm really curious about a couple things with Vandy. So pitching depth, it's not a lack of talent, but guys that maybe just aren't quite as proven for Vandy are going to become key players. You know, it's even with the extra days off, I think Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter can have a big impact on this thing, but they can't record every out, right? So that's going to be part of it. I also think the shortstop, Carter Young, who you guys mentioned, this kid's got star upside. He was having an incredible year, was injured at the very end, but got himself back in there. It just doesn't feel like we're seeing the same version of him that we saw the first couple months of the season. I think Carter Young, what you guys just said a second ago about the brighter the lights, the better he plays, he's got that vibe to me. And I think he's a real key guy in this thing.
And he's a real playmaker, too, that you don't see often at this level. He's like Jose Torres. He's a guy you could see playing, you know, shortstop in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a switch hitter who's got power and bat speed. And they're just swing and miss there. And so, you know, we'll see how locked in he looks at the plate. But the other thing is, I wonder if Tate Colwick is going to play in this thing. I don't know if you've heard that. Mm-mm. But when he's healthy, I think that's an elite double play combination there.
Yeah.
I mean, not that Parker Nolan has done a bad job filling in. But really, you know, Colwick is special. And then Bradfield in center field with Rodriguez behind the plate, that's an elite up the middle group defensively.
Yeah,
and CJ's kind of the X factor. We didn't say much about him, but, I mean, he's an elite defensive catcher. You know, last week, East Carolina, all he got a little overly aggressive, and CJ made him pay for it. So he's an elite defender back there.
Yeah, that's right. That's where the Vandy national brand comes into play, right? CJ Rodriguez is a Southern California kid, modern-day high school, and it's like – it's just amazing to think about, and then we'll move on to the other side of the bracket. It's amazing to me to think about what Vandy baseball has become. If you had told me 20 years ago that a catcher at Modern Day High School in Southern California would leave the Pac-12, I would have told you guys
Carter Young's from Washington.
That's right. There you go. So the Vandy brand is officially national. All right, so as we wrap up Hale State, Mississippi State, Kendall, you have a really good point. There's something unique about this team.
Yeah, I mean, they've been to Omaha 3 straight years, obviously not including last year, but 3 straight years. A lot of these kids have played here, and I do think that accounts for something. You see so many teams that go here, and they're kind of like walking this ballpark, and they're like, oh, my gosh. Mississippi State, they're not going to be like that. And if anything, when you look at, you know, playing the Super Regional with the dude, I mean, you could argue that atmosphere is more kind of boisterous than here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a way, you'll be pretty comfortable.
Yeah, and I would tell you guys that, you know, college, hey, all athletes, all coaches, we love our routines. We crave our routines. And I think it's a very fair point, Kendall, that one of the challenges of playing here in Omaha is there is nothing about your regular season routine that gets you ready for this. It's 25,000. It's a big league stadium. Everybody in this town knows who you are. Autographs nonstop, you know, at different game times. It's just, and I think you're right, in a year where we missed a tournament, which means we missed an Omaha, Mississippi State's got a huge advantage having kids that have played here before. Absolutely. All right, boys, let's move on to the Vols. It's just amazing that we're talking about Tennessee and Omaha. What a job Tony Vitello and that staff have done. Fitzy, kick us off on the Vols.
Well, the thing that always stands out most to me is just how difficult it is to navigate that lineup 1-9.
Yes.
And it's a team that I think, they've got a lot of good players, really talented players, but the sum is even better than the parts for this team. The numbers don't really tell the whole story. There's just so many competitive at-bats. They're so well coached. In that respect, they remind me of, you know, of Arkansas, of Notre Dame. I mean, these teams that just, you know, they wear you down. But that said, they've got star power. I mean, and I can't wait to see, you know, Max Ferguson run around in this ballpark.
Yep.
Just a dynamic playmaker at second base, whose athleticism plays on the base paths too. I love watching him and Liam Spence in the middle of the infield there. Spence, kind of the guy that makes that team go. He's just an on-base machine. But, you know, up and down the order, I mean, there's veteran guys. Drew Gilbert is a fun player to watch. I mean, Connor Pavloni behind the plate does a really nice job defensively. So it's another team that, you know, they take good care of the baseball.
Yeah.
I just really like that position player group a lot, guys.
Yeah, they just have so many guys in this lineup that I feel like they have that big playability. You know, Evan Russell, he's got a lot of swing and miss. You're going to see a lot of strikeouts on his resume. You're also going to see a lot of big hits, a lot of big home runs. So the thing about Tennessee for me is, like, I kind of call them the Cal State Fullerton of the old days of the East Coast. Like, they're one of those teams who they're going to come in here and they're going to play like no one thinks they should be here. And like that, I think that attitude permeates from the coaching staff down to the players, and they play with like their hair on fire. And you know, that is one of the big reasons why they're so successful. But you know, I think when you look at that lineup, you know, on the mound, they don't quite have the depth of some other teams. They don't have those power arms. You know, Sean Hundley, Redmond Walsh, you know, Kirby McConnell. Those are not guys, or Kirby Cannell. Those aren't guys that have power stuff. But, you know, Chad Dallas has a really nice cutter. He can get up to 94, 95 in that rotation. Mm-hmm. And of course, keep an eye on Blade Tidwell. You know, I saw him a couple of times this year, you know, up to 97, end of the sixth inning with a pretty nasty slider. So keep an eye on Blade Tidwell.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Fitz.
And I will say that I think the bullpen is really a good fit for this ballpark.
Yeah.
They throw strikes. They make you beat them. If you can take care of the ball behind them, which Tennessee can, I mean, that's a winning formula. I mean, you think back to, you know, the South Carolina dynasty. You know, South Carolina played very well in this ballpark with a strike-throwing bullpen. I mean, Matt Price had stuff too, but I mean, it's like topping out at 92, 93 and just, you know, attacking guys. You know, John Taylor, the sidewinder guy. I mean, that's kind of how Tennessee's bullpen is built to me. Is they're guys that are going to pound the zone. They're not going to blow you away with velocity, but they have a ton of experience. They're fearless. They're winners.
They have a decent pitching coach too.
Big Frank. Frank
like
Anderson.
Two head coaches.
Yeah, Frank Anderson is really, I mean, hey, this is a guy with a national championship ring when he was pitching coach at Texas. So, by the way, the John Taylor pull, Fitzy, give me some on that.
Oh,
yes,
John
well
Taylor.
Done. Yeah, John, the John Taylor pull is excellent. Hey, I'm going to give a counterpoint to something you just said, Fitzy, which is interesting. I think Tennessee's roster is built perfectly for the stadium, but I think this stadium plays just polar opposite from their home stadium, Lindsey Nelson. You know, we were saying Lindsey Nelson Stadium in Knoxville was playing like hashtag Schmedium. I mean, the place played tiny. And so this park tends to play very, very big. That said, their roster is really, it's a roster for all occasions.
I feel like Lindsey Nelson's a lot like Mike Martin Field. I kind of want to go out there and actually measure the dimensions a little bit.
That's right.
But I mean, you know, you're right, though. We make the point that this team has relied on the long ball, but they also, I believe, led the SEC in doubles.
Yes.
So you would think they can adapt. But the one thing I wonder is, you know, the way they've been playing in the postseason, it has been more reliant on the long ball because of the way the ball's been flying out of Lindsey Nelson.
Yep.
And so it's a matter of, you know, adapting at this time of year. I think that's going to be key.
Hey, and think about this, guys. You know, for Tennessee, all of their big moments this year were in Knoxville, right? The Arkansas series in Knoxville, the Vandy series in Knoxville, regionals and super regionals. So, you know, again, for Vandy, they've done well on the road. Clearly, you're not here if you're not a solid road team, but I think that's interesting. I will say this about Tennessee. This is a special infield. Jake Rucker at third base, Liam Spence at shortstop, Max Ferguson. If you were only going to lock in on one thing for Tennessee, I love watching that threesome play. They're so good in every way. You know, they affect every part of the game.
Well, and you know, I remember a couple of years ago in the fall, you know, 2019, Tony Vitello said, "Yeah, we've got some new faces here. But one thing I know is that Max Ferguson, Jake Rucker, and Evan Russell, they're not going to let us loose."
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's just, they have that mentality. They're true leaders, and that matters. And Jake Rucker is so fun to watch.
Yeah, and they're playing really well at the right time. I remember halfway through the season when I saw him at Texas A&M, you know, Max Ferguson was kind of struggling a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, like all those guys, whether it's Ferguson, Drew Gilbert, all those guys are playing really well, and they're playing really well at the right time.
Yeah, and so we'll give a shout-out, as we always do when we talk about Max Ferguson, to our man, David Seifert, the director of credibility at D1 Baseball, because I'll just speak for myself. When I had jumped fully off the Max Ferguson bandwagon a few months ago, David Seifert said, just slow your roll, calm down, it's going to be fine, and it's been more than fine. Max Ferguson has been a star down the stretch.
I'll be intrigued to see how Chris Berkey does in this thing.
That's right, Berkey you. Oh, I love it. All right, Kendall, we got to start with you, because now we're going to talk about the home team of the Republic, the University of Texas Longhorns.
The great state of Texas, and I'm not going to say a lot of nice things just because former Longhorn leader McCarrihan from Win Reality.
That's right.
But I really like this team. I think when you look at the rotation with Ty Madden, Tristan Stevens, and Pete Hanson didn't throw last weekend, but that rotation's pitching at a really high level. I mean, I can make the argument that, you know, Madden is their third best starter right now in terms of production. Mm-hmm. And you think about their offense is Torrey Tulowitzki's done an amazing job of getting, you know, guys like Mike Antico to get in a groove. You know, Cam Williams has cut down into strikeouts. Zach Zubia there in the middle of that lineup. You talk about, you know, a COVID season and all those old players. You know, Zach Zubia is a prime example. And so when you look at that lineup overall, Trey Faltini's had a great postseason. He's gotten some really big hits for the Horns. I just love the way this team's playing. you look back at the Fairfield game last week or 2 weeks ago in the regional, and I think they're up like 9-1 in the third inning. Like, the game's over. Like, everybody knows it. You know, and you have a tendency to get a little sloppy. But Texas, man, they were dialed in. They didn't change anything. They still played at a really high level. They pitched at a high level. This team means business, and that's a sign of a team that's extremely well coached.
Yeah, I love it. Fitzy, what do you got on the horns?
And it's fair to say that they probably had the most favorable path to get here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the average seed of the teams they beat.
I had to take a 5 a.m. flight. I thought my path was even more difficult than.
You're right. But, you know, that said, South Florida played well. You know, they gave him a good little run.
Yeah, they did.
And Texas responded after a couple of home runs in the ninth inning in the first game of that Super Regional. Texas showed their mettle. They came right back and won it in the walk-off. But, you know, I'm not personally worried about that, the fact that they haven't really played the elite teams yet in the postseason, because they're still playing at an elite level.
Yeah, exactly. They're playing elite level. They're doing everything right. And I think the other thing, too, about Texas is the back end of the bullpen. I actually really like, you know, Tanner Witt was outstanding last week. He was up to 96 with a nasty breaking ball. You know, Aaron Nixon has been really good for him. But then your boy Cole Quintanilla, he was up to 98, 99 last week. So they've got three guys who out of the back end of the bullpen they can really rely on. And honestly, like, I think three guys is kind of all you need in this format, especially with three really good starters.
Yeah.
But also, they're probably the team that's best suited if they fall into the loser's bracket because they have three starters, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, most teams love to just go 1-2, 1-2 with their top two starters. But, you know, with Texas, they've got that luxury of having the third guy, like you mentioned, Pete Hansen, who's come on and really become a major weapon for them late.
Yeah.
I feel like they're again, so built for this ballpark, maybe more than any other team, maybe even more than Arizona, because this place plays so much like Dish Falk with the dimensions, and they're a pitching and defense team. I mean, I know they've become more offensive, but still, it's pitching and defense.
Yeah.
That's what they do in elite level.
Yeah, I mean, their outfield's really fast. We look at Doug Hodo and right, Eric Kennedy in left, and of course, Mike Antico in center. They track down balls really well in the gaps. Kennedy's gotten a lot better with his routes this year. Last year wasn't so pretty. But when you look at their lineup, too, you know, Antico, when he gets on base, he's not Enrique Bradfield, but when he gets on base, he can steal bases. He's going to put pressure on you. And then when you look at the bottom of their lineup with Eric Kennedy, you know, he laid down a really nice bunt last week in that super. He can kind of get their offense going. So when you have a 9-1-hole hitter who both if they can get on base, can wreak havoc, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I'll be really interested to see with Texas where – I think they're not our parents' University of Texas baseball team, right? Like, it is the pitching and defense that we're used to, but there's more pop. But that said, Ivan Melendez, who is just a monster in the middle of the lineup, he has had a wide range of outcomes over the last month or so of the season. It's been high highs and low lows, and I am a little bit nervous that maybe it's depending on the pitching he's facing. Has he become a bad pitching bully? I'm really curious to see how he does against these types of
arms.
Yeah,
so I'll say this about Texas. I think you can get away with Ivan Melendez struggling against South Florida, Fairfield, and Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can get away with him struggling against this field. So he's going to have I'm not saying he needs to hit 350 in Omaha, but I mean, he needs to give him something.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that in several weeks.
Yeah, and the other thing that we've talked about, which I think is super fascinating, is David Pierce has one of the hardest decisions for setting his rotation of any of the coaches that are here. You know, for Tim Corbin, yeah, there is no decision, right? It's rocker and lighter, and thanks for coming out. But for David Pierce in Texas, okay, so Ty Madden's a first-round pick, but I agree with what you said, Kendall. Like, he might be their most vulnerable starter right now. And Pete Hansen has been their number three. As important as it is to go 2-0 in this format and get at a top of the winner's bracket, I don't know if I'm David Pierce, if I could sleep at night not throwing Pete Hansen in one of those first two games. But then you've got Tristan Stevens sitting there with 10 wins.
Well, if you don't throw Hansen in that game, that means he's going like 2.5 weeks without pitching. So that's some concern for me.
Yeah, it's a fascinating team. Texas is really fascinating to me. All right, so last team in the bracket, let's go the Virginia Cavaliers. Fitzy, you're our ACC guru, so you kick us off with the Hoos.
Yeah, this is a team that, you know, you look at, again, their overall record, the fact that they were a 3 seed, and maybe you're thinking they're not as good as these other teams.
Yeah.
And they just got hot in the postseason. But really, this was a preseason top 16 team. You know, we thought this was going to be a super regional caliber club heading into the year, and they just got stuck in the mud offensively the first half of the year. And, you know, some of their veteran guys just were, I don't know if they were pressing, but they just weren't hitting. And then they kind of figured it out. And I think Zach Geloff figuring it out was a huge key, because he's the guy that makes this team go. I mean, this is the guy that's kind of the elite talent, could be, you know, a first round kind of a talent, who's driving the ball more. You know, he's always been able to run. He's putting his speed to work. he makes that offense go. And then you got like a Devin Ortiz in the middle, who's had some really big hits for them, a veteran guy. They have an older position player group. And I know the offensive numbers aren't scary, but I mean, there's a lot of mature players here. Nick Kent comes mm-hmm. to mind. I like him and Max Cotier in the middle of the order. This team is better offensively than the numbers show. They've really been hitting, especially since the ACC tournament. I thought in Charlotte, in the very offensive part, mm-hmm. they weren't really built for that yard, but they show up there and they're hitting the ball over the fence and, taking advantage of the conditions. And then, of course, the regionals and the supers, they're also playing in a home run hitter's park against home run hitting teams. Old Dominion led the nation in home runs, South Carolina in their own yard, and then Dallas Baptist, one of the best home run hitting teams in the country. UVA isn't. And still, they adapted their style of play and were able to beat those teams in that yard. So that, to me, shows you a lot about just their ability to win in various different conditions.
Yeah.
And they kind of look like a team of destiny to me. You look at the job that Matt Wyatt did for those guys on the mound. I mean, Griff McGarry, when he started there, they were thinking like, oh, my goodness, this is going to be good. 10 strikeouts, 7 shutout innings.
Yeah.
Steven Schock, he didn't pitch last weekend. I'm assuming he'll be back here. But, he was awesome out of the bullpen. So when you look at the big performance they've gotten on the mound, you look at the big home run by Kyle Teal, I just feel like Virginia is one of those teams that, you're going to have to knock them out, because if not, they're going to start feeling it in the later innings like they did in the Super Regional and the Regional rounds.
Yeah, I would agree. This is a team with tremendous mental toughness. You start your season 4-11 in ACC play. That's a big problem. You're in jeopardy of a lot of bad things happening, let alone you find your way to Omaha later. And I, Fitzy, what you said a second ago, I think is so spot on. And I've been guilty of this, where Virginia, you got to look past the numbers. This position player group, which I feel like I've been maybe hypercritical of, they're just way better than the numbers. And Kyle Teal's emergence has been a game changer. Zach Geloff is a star. He's a star offensive player. I know we pick at his defense at times, but he impacts the game offensively in a lot of different ways.
And his brother Jake has become a factor too. Yeah. Lower in the order, they're getting some good contributions from down there. But we've come this far talking about Virginia. We haven't even mentioned Andrew Abbott yet.
Yes.
Who might be.
He's decent.
He's certainly, there's some great pitchers in this World Series field. You got to start with Rocker and Leiter, but Abbott, for me, might be the next best guy.
Yeah.
After Rocker and Leiter, it's a premier lefty. He's a fourth-year guy with a ton of experience. Made the transition this year from the bullpen into the starting role, and he's handled it just marvelously. I mean, he's got stamina. He holds that 91, 94 mile an hour velocity. Kind of is like a left-handed version of Brendan Beck with the angle.
Yeah.
He's able to drive that ball into the bottom of the zone. He's got one of the best curveballs in the country. He's developed a changeup. I think he can go there and beat Tennessee. And then the other thing is, maybe the rest of their rotation isn't as rock solid. I mean, Griff McGarry was great last week. We'll see what we get from Griff McGarry this week. But their bullpen is elite. For me, it's right there at Mississippi State, one of the best bullpens in the country.
Yeah, I mean, they've got 4 or 5 options. Zach Bessinger, Kyle Litton, Steven Schock. I mean, the list kind of goes on. Matt Wyatt. So they've got a lot of options.
And Nate Savino, too, the high-profile lefty who can get you some ground ball outs.
Yeah, and what you said, Fitzy, about Abbott is, if think about it, guys, Andrew Abbott is 3rd in the country in strikeouts behind Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. So he literally, statistically, is the 3rd best guy here.
And speaking of guys that don't have great stats but have big playability, we got to mention Malvern Prep here.
That's right. By the way, in the Hilton Bar, if there's a lot of Malvern Prep fight songs and reunions going on, we will, guilty as charged, right?
Yeah. The Fightin' Friars. Right now.
Yeah. So I don't know it. Oh. We're just gonna scream.
We're gonna sing it during the credits.
Yeah, that's right. We'll sing it. I guess somebody please tweet me the lyrics. Yeah, it's been a while, but as a Malvern Prep grad, very proud of Chris Newell. We played in the same Little League, Newtown Edgemont Little League. So yeah, excited to see. That's right. Now I can tell you the Green Machine, and that we do Green Machine, Green Machine. Yeah. So there we go.
Okay, we can move on now.
Yes, that's right. Enough Philly centric talk. All right, boys. So I want to do one fun thing. This is our promised land. This is our mecca trip in college baseball every year, right? And so we didn't get it last year. We haven't been here in 2 years. So I've got 4 categories for you.
Uh-oh.
And I want to ask you guys, I'll kick it off. I got to hide the categories. So when we were coming to Omaha this year, the most excited to ... So in a couple categories. So the things that you were very excited for returning to Omaha in the categories of. So I'm going to start with food. Okay, so this is a little bit of a layup. We may have the same answer here. I was the most excited to come back to the Drover. Now, the Drover's been 3 years because we didn't even have the Drover in 2019, but I'm going to be specific. It's the greatest salad bar on the planet Earth. I'm just saying. I know that's a corny thing to say. I'm just telling you, you got to go there. It's the greatest salad bar on the planet Earth. That's my food item.
There used to be a plaque that even acknowledged that, that has retained its original quality since 1972.
Yes.
The plaque is gone. That was a disappointment.
Yeah, that was a disappointment, yes.
The only thing I'm disappointed with is that COVID put the salad dressing in these little plastic containers.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like it's hard to maintain the quality that way.
Yeah. So I'm going Drover Salad Bar. Fitzy, you go next. What are you going with?
I mean, you know, it's the whiskey filet.
Yeah.
I can't believe, Upset City, I was the only guy at our table to order the filet last night. All these boneheads went with the ribeye. Look, I get it. Ribeye, it's a good cut.
It's
but
a quality
filet,
cut.
That's the gold standard. Yeah, what are you doing, guys?
Yeah, I do feel guilty about that because it is important. It's the first trip to the Drover of many, and I did not establish the filet. I kind of cross-counted with the ribeye.
So I'm going to actually give us some variety here. Since I actually make a really good steak at home, I'm going to go away from steak. I'm going to go with the bruschetta at Lo Solo Mio.
Oh,
like,
I don't know
what they put in their olive oil. I'm guessing it's a ton of MSG or something. But like that stuff is like hard to put down. And by the time you put it down, you get your meal and you're over there just holding your stomach to eating too much food.
Yeah, that's a great pull right there, Kara. I did not see that coming at all. Okay, so next category. So again, we haven't seen a lot of our friends in college baseball in a long time because we've been calling games from home. It's been hard to get to games. So, person you're most excited to see here. Now, of course, you two are my first two choices, but I'm going to take you out of play because you're on the show. So, this was a special treat I just found out about last night. Dean Stotts, the former assistant coach at Stanford, is here in Omaha, obviously supporting the Cardinal who are here. One of my favorite people I ever coached against, got to know in college baseball. So there's a million people that I've been super excited to see on this trip, but Dean Stotts is the person I'm going to rank number one. So excited to see Coach Stotts.
Go ahead, because I'm not sure I'm going to pick.
There's a lot
you're
going to
pass.
Choices. I'm going to go way off the board here. I'm going to give some love to our boy Gus.
Yes!
Gus, Scott Gustafson.
Well, I saw him 2 weeks ago, so yeah. It doesn't count.
Yeah, we didn't, though.
Extraordinary ESPN producer, who's one of our golfing buddies. We're gonna blare some Yacht Rock out there during the Carter Lake Classic with Coach Rooney.
Yeah,
gotta get some holes in this week.
Yeah, so Scott Gustafson's the night producer. He produces the night game here in Omaha for ESPN. He's a legend here, and he's one of the best. Yeah, that's a great call. KR, what are you going to go with?
Can I cheat and just go with a bunch of people?
It's got to be three or less, though.
I'm gonna go with like the local Omaha people that we always see. Our man Howard Borden.
Yes.
Like, you know what? Hey,
great call.
He's got the old school tape recorder over there, you know, giving you the thumbs up, and you're at the College World Series when you see a guy like Howard around. And then just all the NCAA people like Jeff Williams. We haven't seen that guy in three years. You know, he takes over for JD Hamilton. You know, JD did an amazing job with the NCAA with this event. JD has since moved on to something else. So this is Jeff's first rodeo, and he's picked a fun time to do his first rodeo.
That's right. And I'm
no pressure.
I'm really excited to see, like, it's a great point, Ken. I'm excited to see everybody in the press box. You know, it's a very fun atmosphere. We spend a lot of time in that press box. We run a stretch every day. Like, physical fitness is important to us in the media when we're here in Omaha, and so we will be running stretches again.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about this whole tournament is, like, you see so many people that, you know, usually it's you haven't seen them for a year, so now it's you haven't seen them for 2 years, so
yeah.
it makes it extra special for me.
So. Yeah, I agree, and then that's the coolest thing about staying at the Hilton right across the street. It just, you run into so many people. It really is. Yeah. It's like tailgating a football game, the reunion aspect of it, so. All right, cool. So let's the next category is a place. It could be anything, but a place in Omaha that you were excited to come see.
Well, Aaron's going to go with the Bob Carey Pedestrian
Bridge. The Bob.
Yes, you guys really know the geography here as well as anybody. You've been here so many times.
You know, it's funny. We always talk about the Bob. I've never actually been on the Bob.
Yeah,
maybe this is the year. We got to take a trip across the Bob Carey Pedestrian Bridge. Hey, if you need to get to Iowa, and why wouldn't you?
That's right.
That's the best way to go. You can walk to Iowa.
Hey, I can start you. Is the Bob your answer, or do you want some time?
I'm going
to
stick with the Bob.
Okay, I like
set
it.
Me up, I'm
I like
take it.
It. I like it. Okay, so here's my thing. One of my favorite things to do is the night games. Is I will leave the press box and I will walk the concourse of TD Ameritrade. And it just, you know, as someone who's a college baseball nerd, it just, every time, like, I get a little misty. It just makes me so proud of our sport. The College World Series is, it's a state fair. It's like this big athletic event. There's families. It's a bunch of guys. You know, it's like, it's really an occasion that any group of people can come to. And I love walking the concourse for the night game. The sun is setting. There's a buzz in the stands. It just, that to me is the time where I can really drink in the magnitude of the event. I love it.
I'm a poet here.
I love that aspect too, but I also love like the second week where we're like sitting on the balcony at like upstream and it's actually like really quiet.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, that's right. So Kendall, you have a spot? Like, what do you go? What would you go with? Your seat in the press box.
The old market. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good. That's. I do. That's another tradition I have is when we get here, I just, you know, settle into the hotel, walk to the old market, and just before the craziness starts. And yeah, it's just everything about this event, the fact that it's downtown now. You know, of course, we always miss Rosenblatt, but I love that part of it. So, all right. So, swag. My wife and I, my awesome wife Jenny and I, we kind of let the shaft out on the swag when we come to the College World Series. My wife is a CPA, and it's one of the few times in our annual life that we kind of get a little loose with the funds. You know, like we come here and I am authorized to do damage with the credit card. And so that is, you know, walking around the village here and, you know, like this is a shirt. This is pretty funny. My wife, Jenny, and I own probably 8 versions of this Omaha shirt. So that is, this will get purchased again. We will get an Omaha shirt.
My wife would tell you that whether it's the grocery store or in Omaha, I do not look at prices. So it usually turns out really bad.
I think it's a male thing. I can't tell you how many times I come back from the grocery store and my wife says, hey, do you remember how much the macadamia nuts cost? And I'm like, zero idea.
Well,
no
issue,
clue at all.
My issue is I usually get the expensive stuff. I don't look at the price. And we've already have like 4 items of that same thing.
No, so. Bad inventory control.
There's some good stuff this year in particular. I've noticed that some new styles here, that nice soft material. I'm going to have to invest in some of those, I think.
Yeah.
My dad likes the microfiber. What is it? Like the... not microfiber, it's like the you know, the, like, stuff that you work out.
The old Under Armour
shirts.
Style
Yeah, long sleeve. Yeah, I always get him one of those for Father's Day every year.
Nice, that's a good call.
Well, and the other thing too, we got our partners at Wilson over there across the way. They've got a lot of swag, a lot of product. You can take a look at a lot of their new bats, Dee Marini. We got our friends at Wynn Reality right next to us here. Go throw on the goggles. I've heard awesome things about this. I'm about to go over there and try this out.
Yeah, that's right.
So go check out our partners at Wynn Reality and Wilson.
So that's the most perfect segue of all time right there. Look at KR wrapping us up. And so we are going to wrap right now. And as Kendall said, this show was brought to you by our friends at Wynn Reality. And, you know, again, it's virtual reality software. You put the goggles on. Think about this. 6 of the 8 teams that advanced to Omaha this year used Wynn Reality throughout the year. If you're a hitter trying to get ready for pitchers you're going to face in the College World Series, 60 of the pitchers that are rostered in the College World Series are part of their software program. So you could go see those guys prepare. And I love their moniker, which is, when your moment comes, you'll be ready. And we are ready for the College World Series, and we're excited to be here. So on behalf of Kendall and Fitzy, we are signing off, and everybody have a great World Series.